Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad. As always, we're joined by the great Japan enthusiast himself, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
When you load up Photoshop, there certainly used to be, there was a man with a very complex name, and it really draws the eye. And I think it's like a South Asian name, and I'm going to get up to tell you who it is. But he's been in every single Photoshop since year dot, it feels like. And it's just, it always draws the eye. That Sithe Nayan, I think. And then the second name starts with an N. So she's looking at that. Hang on. Bob Wolf, Russell Williams. Where is he? Has he been taken out? Oh no! Oh, what a night! I've just loaded up Photoshop and he's not there. They're not there, unfortunately.
This is such a weirdly specific Pete Donaldson moment.
It is. Well, it's not really, because everyone uses Photoshop. Kevin Hopps is in there. Tom Pinkerton's in there. Claudia Rodriguez is in there. But Sithe Man, or whatever the name might be, is not there anymore. Maybe they've moved on. Maybe they've moved on.
I would never Photoshop one of my photos ever, apart from every single fucking thumbnail I do, every YouTube video where you have to sort of do a wow face because it leads to 20% more traffic for some reason. Like, I met a really cool YouTuber the other day who I'd always wanted to meet, Johnny Harris. He does geopolitical kind of commentary and lots of big scary maps, ominous soundtrack. Good videos.
Olive oil exposés.
Yeah, it's always like, he came to the studio, he was here, and like I was like, he's got a video like, why the British Empire took over the world. I'm like, lay off us, Johnny. Let us off. We've done nothing wrong. We built a railroad. We help countries
get treasure out
quicker.
Get the treasure out. Stick it in the museum.
He was really cool, and we talked about how on YouTube you have to do the face, right? You have to be like, And actually, the best person I know who could do it is Connor. Connor is so good at doing, like, the stupid... he does it when he's not posing. He's so good at it, the face. But, like, whenever I'm like, okay, Connor, smile in the bathtub. And he's like, whoa! And he'll, like, he's perfect for that.
So what is the primo kind of YouTube... One week we should just have me or you doing the best YouTube face for the artwork. There we go. Done.
There you
Sorted.
Go. Your glass is falling off. You can be the thumbnails going forward. Honestly.
We're always asking for more YouTube pictures of Chris. Chris, we never get enough YouTube face pictures of Chris. And we're like, Chris, can we get some more? Can we get some more? Can we get some more? Because Chris is always rather underwhelmed with his YouTube face and he needs bigger YouTube face.
It's true. I might take some today. I'm feeling rather good. Ooh, I've got a shirt that actually fits around my arms and makes my arms look good. I've discovered the secret to looking muscular is just having a really tight shirt. The only problem is below my chest, it looks like it just looks wrong because my stomach's just like ripping the shirt to pieces because it's bulging out. Right. So I've luckily concealed that off camera.
I always get served adverts on Facebook. Yes, I do occasionally visit Facebook because that's where the Toyota Century Group is for all of the information for Toyota Century owners. And there's always a man's big guy selling me a T-shirt that makes big guy T-shirts for big guys. It's but like you say, it's tight around the arm, not and a little bit baggy, but not too baggy around the stomach. And it makes big guys look... I'm not saying you're a big guy, but it makes the bigger guys look amazing. Like big daddies.
It's all about the arms. It's all about the arms.
All about the arms, is it?
Right, all about the arms, Pete. But anyway.
Oh, I remember being buff. I remember being buff.
Once upon a... You're still good for now.
Yeah. I used to be in good nick. I used to be in good nick. I used to take my shirt off in photo shoots for a laugh.
Oh, my God.
Not now.
Have you ever had... Have a six-pack, though? Did you ever have a six-pack at all?
No, because I like fucking lager. I'm very titty. Whenever I've worked out, I just get big old titties, and it's great. I love it. I love my big old titties.
Well, you look good now with your hair and
thanks,
your
mate.
Moustache. Very dashing young man. We got a story this week from Baz, who says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. In 2023, I had the chance to live in Japan for 7 months and prepared myself by watching a lot of Abroad in Japan videos." Good man, Baz. Good man. "Seeing your videos with guests, particularly with Natsuki, encouraged me that I would be able to make my own group of local friends. One day after school, my classmates and I went to Yoyogi Park to enjoy the beautiful weather. Next to us was a group of about 5 Japanese guys listening to hip-hop music and having a lot of fun. After eating and drinking for some time in the sun, I stood up to head to the nearest bathroom, and one of the guys in the group next to us was dancing to a UK rap song and flailed into my path as I went past him. Making eye contact and somewhat buzzed from my alcoholic picnic, I decided it would be an alcoholic picnic. It's the Pete Donaldson special. I decided it would be a good idea to dance along with him. I think we're both surprised by my moves." And
that's not a ringing endorsement.
What a sentence. "And I was invited. To join their group. He makes it sound like a ritual dance. Yeah. Like, I understood the way of the Japanese." "After my toilet break, our two groups merged and we started talking about all sorts of things together. The dancing guy told me that he wanted to move to Australia because he wanted to experience a different society, as he didn't feel he conformed to Japanese social norms. The sentiment didn't surprise me, demonstrated by his exuberant public dancing and very obvious body tattoos. That afternoon ended up being one of the most memorable experiences of my whole trip, and we've become very good friends since. In fact, the second time we met, he took me out for karaoke. During the wacky night, I suddenly thought, this guy is my Natsuki. This is him. He's now in Australia with his wife and absolutely loves it. I wonder if Natsuki or you... or other Japanese friends have ever struggled with fitting in or considered leaving Japan to live elsewhere. Cheers, guys. Baz, the world's greatest dancer in all manner of hip-hop." I mean, a lot of my Japanese friends are folks who, like, don't conform in lots of ways. But then they kind of do. Like, Natsuki gives it all that as he thinks he's, like, Mr. Bad Boy, breaking the rules. But then he's like, "I must work, and I must work till 5 p.m, and I must serve the customer." He's like really good at running his business. He cares about his customers so much, and he will never... I'm like, "Come on, Natsuki, come and take it. I'll make a funny video about some pasta and some noodles." And he's like, "No, I have to be nice to the customers. I can't cancel a customer. I have to see it through." And he's very, you know, he'll always turn down other opportunities and money to always be the best he can for his customers. So, yeah, he's still a lot more Japanese than he lets on, even though he swears and is a bit of a rule breaker in some other aspects. Whereas Ryotaro lived overseas and sort of changed his thinking. But, I know Ryotaro nearly... He told me he wanted to stay in Australia, but he made a promise as a teenager to one of his, like, mentors. His mentor was like, "You must go, Ryotaro, and travel the world." I've heard this story 100 times. "You must go, Ryotaro, travel the world and learn the ways of man. But make sure, promise me you come back to Japan and marry a Japanese woman." And Ryotaro's like, "I promise, no problem." And so he went off to Seattle and London and Sydney and Frankfurt. And even though he loved Sydney, he was like, "You know what, I've got to live up to my promise." And I think age like 24, he came back to Japan and married his Japanese wife. So there you go. The history of Ryotaro.
Good person to marry, I suppose, isn't it? Your Japanese wife.
What about that?
I'd marry my Japanese wife. Well done. That's crazy, isn't it? And I think when you look at Natsuki, I've not seen Natsuki in his... I think I saw Natsuki once with a friend in a bar. And he seemed like Natsuki, but way more subdued. Like, they were both in, like, punk rock music. and they're just a lot quieter than Natsuki, you know, a little less mad. It's sort of interesting to see how Natsuki sort of fits in into his sort of surroundings and his environment. Because I've obviously met his wife and stuff, and like she seems absolutely lovely. And usually you would sort of see her as being the person who calms him down. Natsuki, you're right, Natsuki still has that kind of, you know, vein of being very Japanese there. But I just wonder how he's sort of viewed. Is he seen as like the crazy man in his town? Just is absolutely mad, but happens to run a salon.
I think he's got a bit of a reputation around town, like, right. You know, they're like, oh, that's Natsuki, you know.
That's Natsuki.
The wacky guy. The wacky guy who gets drunk and takes his shirt off. It's a friend of mine in Sakata sent me a photo of Natsuki, and they ran into Natsuki once in like a restaurant or a pub, and they got really drunk, and Natsuki just took his shirt off and started dancing around. And, I went on this monologue about how respectful and how Japanese he is, and now we've just torn that to shreds.
Just tops off football, Ike.
absolutely. But what's going on in Japan this week, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in on the news. It involves the Oscars, I understand.
The Oscars happened, Chris. It can't have escaped your attention. Ryan, what's his name, doing the Ken song. What are you opening? You opening a delicious... Is that a black...
Tully's.
Coffee?
Tully's
black coffee. Well, why are you drinking
it
then?
Because it's
so bad.
It's the only caffeine drink that like seems to perk me up. I don't know what they put in it, sort of cocaine or speed or something. But where other coffees fail, Tully's Black succeeds in waking me up.
Clip
it tastes
that.
Absolutely
clip that.
Crap.
Let's get the Tully's money. Let's get the Tully's money in. Anyway, it's a big one. The Oscars happened, and Japan's Hayao Miyazaki won the award for Boy and the Heron. More than two decades after winning his first Oscar. Japan's animator Hayao Miyazaki has done it again. The Boy and the Heron beat Disney's Elemental and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse to win the Best Animated Feature Film Prize. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, I thought that was like ages old. I thought I saw
there's
that
a sequel.
There's a sequel. Have I not seen that? Oh, it's excellent, the first one. I should get involved. The 83-year-old Hayao Miyazaki, who's been dubbed the Godfather of Animation, also won the Golden Globe for the same film last January. It's interesting that these guys who are at the top of the game in Japan, they are like quite old men, always men in Japanese society, but they're quite old men, and you sort of look at, like, there's a lot of, like, games guys for, like, Nintendo, and they're sort of realising that, you know, they've only got, because video games take longer than films these days, even animated ones.
Well, I don't know about an anime like this. This Boy and Heron probably took a good few years to make.
Yeah. But, you know, most AAA games take about 5-6 years, and they're sort of realising that a lot of... these men only have two or three more games in them. So imagine Miyazaki's probably feeling the same way. And I think he's spoken about that in the past, that, you know, he knows that he's closer to the end than the start, and how important it is to sort of keep going. And during World War II, the semi-autobiographical film is about a boy who meets a mysterious speaking heron after losing his mother. The film took a decade to make because the animation's hand-drawn. So there you go. That's answered my question.
Take that, AAA games.
Take that, exactly. Godzilla has finally gone home the gold as well. Godzilla Minus One. Directed by Takashi Yamazaki, made history at the Academy Awards, securing the Academy Award for Best Visual Effects, a first-time win for the Godzilla franchise. It's a landmark achievement. The VFX team only has 35 artists in there. $15 million budget, and took on the entirety of Hollywood, which is pretty much all special visual effects these days, isn't it? So, fantastic. Mm. Well done, those two films. Well done, those two auteurs.
I mean, it was a tight. There was a close one. The other film that was in the running for visual effects that was really good was the Creator by Gareth Edwards. The film itself was actually not that great, I thought. The plot was like four sci-fi films sandwiched together, but the special effects were very impressive. But Godzilla, really inspiring stuff. Minus One. Not only is it a good film with a bit of a meh ending, But the special effects are exceptional. And when you, I watched a video, and you can watch it online, where they're talking about how they did it, and it's just 35 guys, 35 artists in a room. And what makes it so unique is the director, usually between the director and the art department, there's like five or six different layers, right? You never see the director sort of wandering around. Yeah. Whereas this time, Takashi Yamazaki, the director, who has...
very involved.
Visual effects experience himself. Yeah, he was very involved. And you can see him on this like chair with wheels, wheeling around the room between desks, sort of micromanaging and sort of giving feedback to the team. And, you know, it speaks for itself. And what's incredible, a lot of the film is set on boats at sea. Right. And they were like, we could only afford one boat set. And even the one boat set is like a 3 meter long piece of boat. And they put a green screen behind it. And they used that little section to be like 25 different boats. And it, really incredible stuff. And again, the budget's $15 million, which is a paltry, pathetic amount of money by the standards of Hollywood anyway. So really exciting. I actually just saw June. I'm going to say it the British way, June. Although my Japanese friend, my sort of American friends, or Sharla, they're always like, it's Dune, it's Dune, or Sharp, Dune. It's June, I'll have you know.
Sharp, don't put your hand in that popcorn. that horrible fucking popcorn thing they've been selling. Horrible.
I mean, but the film is so good, and really... You know, one of the best films I've ever seen at the cinema. Mm. The experience, the audio, the visual. But the budget, that was about $150 million, I think. But the special effects were exceptional, like to the point where it just looks like, you know, photorealistic. You're never taken out of the moment. You never think, oh, that's awful. But everything about it, honestly, such a good film. I realise everyone else probably saw it like a month ago because it came out in Japan quite late. We had to wait like 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
But yeah, honestly, an incredible film. Really, I came out of there and I was like, why do I make YouTube videos, silly videos in a room? Why do I make movies like this? Why the fuck am I wasting my time?
Why don't I become Jacques Villeneuve?
Denis Villeneuve. Yeah, Jacques Villeneuve. So it made me, certainly gave me a kick to think a bit more carefully about what I'm doing. But great stuff, though.
Love you in a little VFX truck, telling people to push more polygons. Brilliant. Magnatsky's face more disgusting.
Honestly, I'd love to go to Jordan where they filmed a lot of Dune, actually. Mm. Like, the desert landscapes. So many good films are shot in Jordan, like Lawrence Arabia, Star Wars. It just looks so otherworldly, doesn't it? You've never been around that neck of the woods, have you? I know you're well-travelled.
No, I've always fancied sort of... Bahrain.
Bahrain.
Bahrain. Yeah, I always wanted to go there.
I nearly got a job there.
Did you? How far?
Yeah. We had a family friend that was running a PR company. And
all right.
And they were like, yeah, come and work for me. And this was just like, I think straight after school, after university or something, or before.
Mm-mm.
And I nearly went there instead of university. And then she fell out with her Bahraini business partner. She herself is Scottish.
That's
and I think she ended up in a lot of trouble. And
so that was a lot of trouble.
My Bahrain dream's gone up in smoke.
Your Bahrain dream gone. I always fancied Bayer started doing flights to Tehran. But you could kind of... I mean, it's where everything started, Iran. Like, it's just where everything started. And also, everyone there is really good-looking, like, ridiculously good-looking, as discussed on the Beautiful Lady podcast a few days ago. We didn't do a Beautiful Lady podcast. Let's make that very clear. It was a YouTube video about... what was
you
it about the Beautiful Lady contest? What's it called? The International
Miss,
Lady Contest?
Miss Japan.
Miss World. Miss Japan. Yeah, the problem is you land in Tehran and then you have to be part of like a tour group and you have to like basically be shown around like it's fucking North Korea or something. So I was not game for that.
You love Iran. But I worry Pete Dawson's a sleeper agent for Iran.
Sleeper agent.
He's gonna be switched
on. I just want to get some of that sweet refined uranium, baby. To really kickstart our projects. But yeah.
What the fuck?
In summary, not that.
He might not have been to Bahrain, but he's going to Iran.
If you've
wonderful
got any
stuff.
You got any? Oh God! Hook me up. Yeah. You got any refined uranium?
As we saw a few weeks ago, the Yakuza seem to be exporting importing it, and that news story was insane. I can't believe
they know what's going on.
Yakuza got their hands on weapons-grade plutonium. We'll be back just a moment, guys. With your stories, comments, and questions over in the fax machine.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Dawson, fill us in.
We got a message from Faye and Ryan, and they are from a place called Plymouth, which I think I may have mentioned before, coming from a town that had a lot of naval officers. Plymouth was always the place you went when you cheated on your wife. Love listening to the podcast and have been watching Chris's video on YouTube for years. I've seen the news about tourist bans in the Gion district and heard you cover it in a news story in a recent podcast. We are due to be staying in a hotel in Gion at the beginning of April for our honeymoon. Our hotel is on the Higashioji Dori, and we're really worried that we could get turned away from our hotel and then be stuck. As booking a hotel such a late notice during cherry blossom season will be a nightmare. Do you think this ban will impact our stay at all? Any advice you can give will be fantastic. Keep up the great videos and podcasts. Faye and Ryan from Plymouth, UK. Chris, surely if you've already got a booking, you should be in with the looking. As they say.
I love the idea that they're like, they travel all the way to Kyoto and the locals like, nope. You can't get to your hotel now. The road's blocked.
Geisha.
Honestly, as I mentioned in the podcast episode and the video that should be coming out on YouTube, I really don't think they can enforce it as well as they think they can. And that sounds like a challenge. I'll show them. I'll walk through with my GoPro. Honestly, it's not going to be an issue. They will basically put some signs up going, don't go this way, down the alleyway. And they probably will enforce it. But if you go, oh, my hotel's there, or oh, I've got a restaurant reservation there, or I want to go to that bar, then they'll be like, oh yeah, sure. So really, you don't have to worry about it. What you might have to worry about is just, it's unfortunate that you can't walk around bits of Gion going forward in April. You know, it's kind of sad, but necessary. to stop poor old Geisha from being harassed by all the weirdos that bumble around there. Honestly, we've got a story from Alex here. Have a lovely time in Kyoto there. I'm sure have a wonderful time. Alex from Denton, Texas says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. I was cleaning out my closet while listening to some of your older episodes when I discovered a small box of items full of random odds and bits that I'd assumed we'd lost while moving years ago. This got me thinking, if you were to tape up a box of items from your house or daily routine today for a future version of yourself to reminisce upon later, what would you put in the box? Cheers, Alex from Denton, Texas." I'd put Gwyneth Paltrow's severed head, just like the movie Seven. What's in the box? What would you put in the box, Pete? I dread to think. Shavings from your hair.
Bigger juice. Just a bloody knife and just sort of say, "This is from future Pete. You're in big trouble." Just to really fuck with my head. Fuck with my head more than I'm already fucking with my head.
My box being alive. Filled with some like mouldy bits of Family Mart fried chicken and the words remember.
Because I'm eating a lot of chocolate. I'm eating a lot of Cadbury's buttons. They've started doing mint Cadbury's buttons, and I'm eating a lot of them at the moment. So they'd probably be chocolatey handprints all over the box, and that would just tell me a lot about what I was doing in 2024.
Melted bits of chocolate, Family Mart chicken crumbs. We got one last comment from Helga. Question: he says, "Hello to my two favourite podcast angels. I work as a ranger in a national park in Iceland." Holy crap! That's awesome. Well done. Well done. Naturally, I'm very interested in visiting. And there's an eruption there this week, actually. It looked pretty dicey. Hope you're okay, Helga. So naturally, I'm very interested in visiting other national parks when travelling. I'm planning to go on a solo trip to Japan in October, November. And I was wondering if you've been to any which you'd recommend. Peace and love, Helga, the Icelandic ranger. That's very cool. Kamikochi is quite nice in central Japan. It's like this kind of, it's a mountain range that's only accessible by a special bus. You're not allowed to drive to it. And all the trees are untouched. They haven't like knocked anything down apart from where they built the very big hotel. Kamikochi or the Shirakami rainforest in Aomori, where I went and had a walk around in the rivers and the waterfalls. I mean, you're kind of spoilt for choice, really. In Japan, there's so many good national parks. Aokigahara is quite a nice forest. I mean, obviously, it's got a bit of a bad reputation for lots of reasons, but it's a nice place to stroll around. But Kamikochi or, that's probably it. the Inland Sea of Japan. The Inland Sea is quite nice, even though it's not a national park. But
I think, everyone sort of heads to the foot of Mount Fuji, which is a national park down there, isn't there? When they go to Tokyo. So I'd recommend sort of like just going north, like Nikko National Park is lovely at the top of, just head north from Tokyo.
I think it looks stunning.
Takes you almost all the way there.
Yeah, no, I'd love to go. I've never been to Nikko. I don't know how, don't know why. I nearly went the other day, but it just looked really just touristy, and I'm not into locations that are very touristy. I kind of want to carve my own path very obnoxiously. But bits of Nikko, the national park, when you see videos of it and the waterfall gushing over this cliff, big old lake, it does look incredible. And I know Ian hiked up there and had a great time. So yeah, maybe Nikko could be a good option, Helga. Get the best of both worlds. Good old shrine to Tokugawa Ieyasu, the old shogun, and see a nice waterfall, innit? Have a good time and stay safe on the plains of Iceland, in the mountains of Iceland. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com or comment down on YouTube, down in the comments. But for now, guys, got a big announcement in the next episode, and I'll see you there for that. But for now, have a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Ta-ta.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.